Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It is 7:45. There are so many different complicated angles to everything that's going on, be it COVID-19, be it George Floyd. And besides the obvious video, there has been a different autopsy conducted by Dr. Michael Bodden. I think everybody knows who he is from his HBO show. And Lawrence Kobolinsky, a very well-known professor emeritus of forensic science, John Jay College of Criminal Justice, has a lot of knowledge as far as this goes as well. So, Doctor, I don't want to in any way take away from you by just calling you a coroner, but you are a distinguished pathologist, are you not?
Well, I'm not a pathologist, but I'm a professor of forensic science, and in the course of my normal activities, I do many murder cases, rape cases, from different perspectives, and I've examined many autopsy reports. So I feel confident in describing these documents or commentary by pathologists. I think that both the Hennepin County Medical Examiner and the and Dr. Bodden and Dr. Alicia Wilson are not so far off. There are differences in their conclusions, but there are also great similarities.
Can you walk us through each and take it one step at a time if you can? Because I guess maybe start with the similarities, then go to the differences side by side.
Sure. The initial report was found in the charging document for the police officer, Derek Chauvin. And it indicated that, number one, there were no physical findings from the autopsy that supported diagnosis of traumatic asphyxia or strangulation. So they're saying there's no physical evidence in examining the body that indicates a traumatic asphyxia, which simply means lack of oxygen to the body. Also, that there were underlying conditions that contributed to the death, namely that Mr. Floyd had coronary artery disease and also hypertension that caused some heart disease, enlargement of the heart. They also indicated that these factors were obviously brought on, not the underlying factors, but the asphyxia was brought on in part not only by underlying conditions, but potential intoxicants in the body. When they wrote the charging document, they had not done any toxicology. So that was the initial report. They said that he was restrained under the knee of the police officer for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. He was unresponsive for the last 2 minutes and 53 seconds. So that was the first charging document. In a press release, the Hennepin County Medical Examiner indicated that death was due to cardiopulmonary arrest, which means that there is no longer any function by the heart or the lungs. And that, they indicate, was brought on because of the restraints. In other words, and I'll read this right from the press release. Decedent experienced a cardiopulmonary arrest while being restrained by law enforcement officers. So that's basically the Hennepin County Medical Examiner's statement. Now, the second autopsy was done, as you know, by Dr. Michael Bodden and Dr. Alicia Wilson. And what they emphasized, number one, is that they did see evidence of a traumatic asphyxia. So there's a big contradiction there. They also stressed the fact that there was a compression of the neck and the back while, you know, because of these restraints that the police officers were performing on Mr. Floyd. So let me explain that a little bit.
Let me pick it up here when we come back. Doctor, I think we're at a good stopping point. So let's pick it up there when we come back. And one other question I want to ask, Professor, is that does the video enter into this at all, or do you strictly throw all of that out and start with the body that's in front of you and work your way back? 7:50, 10 till 8, traffic now, a quick look on WWL. Tommy Tucker, WWL, it is 7:55. We're talking to Professor Emeritus of Forensic Science, John Jay College of Criminal Justice, Lawrence Kobolinski, about the different autopsies of George Floyd. So, Professor, the floor is yours. We've got about 4.5 minutes. Educate us, please.
Well, as you pointed out, the autopsy is an independent item of evidence. It's an examination of the body from head to toe to try to determine the cause of death and the manner of death. So it's an independent investigation. However, medical examiners will use video and eyewitnesses or any other kind of evidence that will help them determine cause and manner of death. So obviously the video plays a major role here because it sets into motion the cause of death. I'd like to point out, and this was, I think, expressed by Dr. Bodden and Dr. Wilson, that Mr. Floyd was placed on the ground prone, his stomach to the ground, and there was pressure placed on his back by two of the officers, and in addition, pressure placed on his neck by the knee of police officer Chauvin. So now, why is that so significant? Because when you are putting pressure on somebody's back in the prone position, you're preventing them from breathing, because normal breathing involves inhalation. Your chest normally rises upward and outward, and that causes the lungs to expand. Now, if you have pressure on somebody's back in a prone position, they can't do that, so they can't breathe. So it's pretty evident to me, and that's brought out by the video, that this very lengthy period of time when there was pressure both on the neck and the back, that caused his inability to breathe. But the airway was not completely closed off, as some people might think, because he was able to speak for a good portion of that period of time, speaking uncomfortably with not a lot of air moving across his vocal cords, but he was able to ask for help, ask for his mother, who was happened to be passed away for years before, asked to have the knee taken off his neck. So he was asking for help, and the police officer just disregarded. The other thing that I find interesting is one of the police officers asked if we should turn him over, because he knew you can't put somebody prone on the floor like that for a lengthy period of time and hold them down. So there was a certain knowledge about what was going on. So there are similarities and differences. The other thing that I find kind of a surprise is that the second autopsy said they saw no heart disease, no coronary disease, no cardiac disease. And that's a direct contradiction to the first autopsy. But I think that can be explained because the second autopsy did not have all of the specimens to look at. This is what happens when you have two autopsies. Only the first autopsy examines the body in its normal condition, whereas the second autopsy is already looking at a body that's been dissected and components have been removed. So there are similarities and differences, but I think they both would agree that death was brought on by cardiopulmonary arrest, and that was due to the restraints used by the police officers. They should have known better in doing this. They shouldn't have obviously kept this pressure on for such a long period of time. So there are differences, but there are similarities here.
I appreciate your time, Professor. Hope we get to talk to you again. Lawrence Kobylinski, Professor Emeritus of Forensic Science, John Jay College of Criminal Justice. We're going to take a break. We come back.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.